The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2013 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2013. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the internet. To find out more about ACCS, or to order additional conference talks, visit our website at accsedu.org. Look for the Conferences tab. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Well, good afternoon. I'm going to try to get things, at least in this little part of the world, back on time, if that's all right. Not that they're far off, but I think we'll just go ahead and get plunging in here. Make sure you're in the right place. I'm Tom Garfield. I'm the superintendent at Logos School and going to be talking to you about maturing as a Christian classical school, some of the challenges and some of the hallmarks. So I'm going to make some assumptions. I mean, we all do, don't we, when we're talking to a bunch of people. And I'm going to assume that you are connected to a school, and you're kind of wondering maybe how that's all going to play out. Okay? Well, I don't really know. So this is going to be a really short session. I've always wanted to do that, but not really. No, as I said in a little description on this, like marriage and raising kids, that to me is the best metaphors I've ever come up with. The life cycles of a classical Christian school experience very common phenomena, no matter where we are. I'm from Idaho, you are not. But we still have this common phenomena as schools. We learn and grow through trials, we take advantage of opportunities, hopefully, and we stay the course. Okay? If you're thinking marriage and child rearing, I hope that's really the case. You go through all that and you stay the course. Possibly some of this that I go through may answer your questions, such as, why are we seeing what we are? Okay? As you look around and you say, what are we seeing, but why are we seeing this? And is there any hope? Okay? Because I'm assuming you wouldn't question that if it was all good. You might say, why is God so kind and why is he heaping all these blessings on us? But let's be really honest, and more likely you're going to question it, why is this happening when not such good things are happening? You with me? All right? That's when we really question God. Rarely do we question him with, what did I do to ever deserve all this good stuff? And of course the answer is nothing. But we don't usually question him that way. We usually question him when it's hard. Okay? Since we deal with people, not plastic parts, there is an organic aspect to the changes that our schools go through. Okay, a very organic change. Put another way, our schools should grow in maturity in every facet. Okay, let me jump a little bit to the chase. If you're really, if you're patient and stick with me close to the end, I'll show you a little movie. Okay? I promise to do that because they said they got it fixed up. Ready to go. I'll show you a little movie. It's one of my favorite little movies. 7 minutes long. It's a promo we made about 6 years ago for Logos. I just really like it a lot, and I hope you do too. But since we're talking about growing and changing, I think this is something that you may be able to identify with, starting with our little beginnings and kind of to where we are now. Okay? You willing for that? Okay. So if you don't want to see it, then, when it starts, you can leave, and I'll be hurt. But I'll get over it. Okay, the other thing is that hopefully you may have already noticed in the notebook, I included this little chart thing that I made a few years back. If you want to look at that, I don't know, I'm not looking at the pages here. I'm looking at my stuff. But after my outline, is it in there? Oh, please, really? Oh, okay. Pretty sure I sent that in. Tell you what. Well, I brought it with me, thankfully. But I will tell you what, I will leave it. That's disappointing. It looks like this. Can you see the... Any problem in the back row with that? That's right. Oh. Next line down. Okay, actually, it's kind of a two-part. It's really not very well formatted. But I'll give this to the ACCS office. Well, bless your little heart. Well, that'd be great if you wouldn't mind, Pamela. Okay? If you want to run a, and I bet you they can even do it back to back. So, you want to do about 100 or whatever? Thank you. What that is my ruminations on looking back at what Logos went through and its changes categorically. Okay? Students, parents, board, even facilities, money, staffing, all that stuff, and kind of some landmark changes, all right? Kind of the equivalent of childhood, puberty, teenagedom, adulthood, all right? So it's extremely non-researched, okay? I didn't get any PhD for that. I just thought, this might be helpful. I've done this talk a number of times, and every time I have had to change it, of course, because things keep changing. But the early stuff is pretty much the same, and I thought this might be helpful in a visual way to kind of see. You know how parents always get together and talk, and my 2-year-old's doing this, and my 4-year-old's doing that, and wow, really? Take it like that. Like we're just moms and dads sitting around comparing kids. Okay? Is that all right? And please don't, you know, give it much more weight than that. All right. Well, let's just jump right in. Signs that tell you the honeymoon is over, which is normal and right. Remember, we're comparing this kind of to marriage and raising kids. So I won't say much about marriage. But usually, the first flush of excitement, that's what I'm talking about, the honeymoon. When you start out, I've never heard of a school that started out with like 600 kids, okay, or even 100. All right, so you start out and you've got these fun little people and everybody's a little, you know, nervous and scared. You're not waving at me, are you? Good. Okay, you've got this group of people that are very excited about this common vision, okay? And no doubt you're in some kind of humble setting, so that just makes it kind of more fun. It's like you're camping out or something, okay? And we're all doing this, we're roughing it. That's what maybe you don't like it. I thought it was kind of fun. It was like one big family, you know? We had 16 kids. Anyway, that changes. That flush, that excitement that I compare to a honeymoon changes. And that's good. It's okay. Nobody stays, like in marriage, nobody stays at the honeymoon level. Okay? Hollywood people, I think, expect to. Otherwise, normal people, no, that's not what happens. You move beyond that, you mature. So, just like in marriage, what are you going to look for? Well, with parents, okay, with the parents, what are you going to see? Well, the excitement level might seem to drop, right? And they sort of take the unique aspects of the school for granted. Where before, you know, the whole singing and chanting and, oh, my word, my child is so happy here. And you just, you know, you almost, it's like getting candy every day. You just got to where you like that. The parent-teacher organization might start kind of cracking and crumbling and falling apart. I noticed this when we started having pretty much just the staff at these parent-teacher meetings for the whole school. It was very depressing. I'll tell you the most painful one. This will also date me as if I need any help with that. Okay, I had this parent, we called it parent-teacher fellowship because, of course, we're a Christian organization. Anyway, I just think that's funny. But parent-teacher fellowship night, and it was for everybody in the school, and, of course, it was very important, otherwise we wouldn't have a meeting. And the night came, and there were like, well, I don't know, a dozen people there. Wow, that was a big change. Well, then I found out that I had scheduled the meeting on the last night, the last episode of MASH. You know what I'm talking about. If you really are, you're going, is that a serial or? Okay, no, I know, reruns. Anyway, so that taught me something, you know, look at the TV schedule before you schedule anything. But no, even after that, even after I didn't collide it with MASH or anything else, it just dropped. Okay, so that's kind of depressing. General involvement kind of drops off. They don't show up for these big meetings, but that's okay. That's not necessarily bad, okay? Here's cutting to the chase a little bit on this. We moved from what I would say is kind of a federal level to, dare I say it, but I'm in the South, a Confederate level, Okay, I know I did say that, didn't I? I teach the war between the states, so I'm trying to be, whatever, integrating. There we go. But no, to where it's spread, that the authority goes out to the individual classes. And so that we didn't see a lack of involvement at the class level. You see what I'm saying? Not at the classroom level. Those moms are, they're still cooking, you know, on all eight cylinders there. It just was, why would I want to come to a meeting? Especially when Garfield doesn't know when to schedule it. Okay? So that's where the activity was still going, but it took me a while to figure that out. That no, people are still interested. It's just now they're interested at the level their kids are at. You follow me? Okay, so kind of a confederacy, if you will, of individual classes. All right, well, with the staff, okay, the zeal, the maturity, changing needs. our record of hiring could read like a who's who of single people. If there is such a thing, I kind of doubt it. That'd be a little hard to keep up. A virtual revolving door or front door is more of how I thought about it. It's like they were on short-term missions with us. Yeah. Oh, how do you do? You're leaving? You know, you're just getting good. Yeah, well, getting married. And you think that's important? These children. Anyway, I have to tell you, Doug's father for a while was my nemesis. Jim Wilson actually is quite a man. But as you can imagine, if you know Doug at all, you know his father must be really something, and he is. But one of the things he likes to do is get people married, and he's unfortunately extremely good at it. So he would see this flock of especially young women that, you know, they're a little more daring than the men are. I'll get to them in a second. But we'd get these young women that would come in, and they're full of zeal and knowledge and fun, and get to know the little ones, and then Jim would get them married off. I said, stop doing that! All right. One time, I remember, seriously, I was going down the hall, you know, basically cursing his name. Okay, here, because he hooked up somebody else. And I was sure I was going to have her for at least one more year. But nope, she compromised. Anyway, but that's not all that happens, of course. If they come married and young, I can pretty much guarantee they're going to get pregnant. Yeah, I could have written it in their contract. The only thing I can't tell you is which gender, you know, which sex. But you will get pregnant because that means you're going to have to leave. Okay, but it also says something about the school, doesn't it? Okay, we couldn't afford to pay people that, you know, were ready to stick it out for a career. Okay, but over time, with growth, we did attract young married men. Now, I make a real qualification on that married part. Young single men, danger, 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 as they said in Lost in Space, okay? Again, dating myself. Young single men come with two strikes against them already. They're young and they're men, okay? Sorry, and I'm not saying that because I'm bitter and wished I was there again. No, I don't want to be there again, hair or not. I don't. I really don't. That was not fun. Our record stands after 32 years. After 32 years, our record, we don't write this down anywhere, I just know this, of not having a single, that is an unmarried young man, work for us for more than 2 years. I don't know if that's your experience. You might look back and see. Maybe it's just Moscow. I don't think so. We either fire them, they get married, okay, or they just move on. They want something else to do. Try that, now I'm going to do this. Okay? Just throw that out there for your benefit. The married ones, though, that either stay and get married or come to us married, yes. I still have some of them, and they're not young anymore. Of course, they're neither single. That's fine. And what we found is that by investing in them, that was our future. I remember having many conversations with these young guys saying, you stay, tell me what you need, we'll try to work with you. I can't promise you X salary in, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, but I can tell you we will work with you. You want to get out of the trailer park? I totally understand. You want to eat something more than beans? Get that too. Been there, done that, all right? You want a house? You want to raise children? We're with you on that, okay? I'm making it simplistic, but they understood. Plus, there was an excitement that these guys brought of being at a ground level and building something, men particularly, seem to enjoy that sort of thing, okay? So let them know you invest in them, they invest with you. Okay, then we added some things as we were able to, but we definitely wanted to add them. Benefits, medical benefits, of course, probably being the chief, but also retirement. Getting these 20-year-old somethings to think about retirement. And so help them with that. Medical's obvious. Like everybody gets sick. I didn't start thinking about retirement until, you know, I was way into my 30s. Really, that's pathetic. Because I just didn't think I could afford it. Well, we want to help the young men realize, no, you really should start thinking that way. And that's part of that investment. Okay? So those are just some real practical things. But it's very easy. Okay? It really is hard. It takes time. But, you know, you have these champagne ideas and you have a beer budget. Okay? You need to take it a step at a time. But you build with those veterans. Okay, the board. Well, the policy manual. The policies themselves need to grow, expand, and they need more anticipation, okay, instead of just reacting. You need to act. The vision differences appear over time. Let me put it this way. As many schools start, okay, this way, you have, let's call it a steering committee of parents who are really devoted to getting the school off the ground, right? Many late nights, lots of coffee, you know, working hard. Well, that steering committee maybe does see the fruit of their labors and the school begins. Okay? Well, we were all excited about the vision when it was a vision. Now it's a real place with real children, with real people working for you, and you're going to have problems. You have real money coming through the doors. You have real parents coming through the doors. They have real expectations. You have teachers that need answers. You have maybe an administrator. That's another story I won't get into, but basically schools that think we're going to save money by not having an administrator right away. Sort of like saying we're going to save money. We're not going to put a car or engine in our car. We'll just, because that's so expensive. You know, we'll take that out and we'll just keep the car. And when they ever ask, I say, you're going to have an administrator. If you have a school, if you have a car, you're going to have an administrator. You're going to have an engine. By definition, this isn't me being a prophet. I'm just telling you this is how it works. Somebody, de facto, is going to be your administrator. But that's another story. Okay? But at the board level then, at that steering committee level, cracks and fissures can start to appear as the pressure of the reality of real children needing things, staff needing things, administrators needing guidance appears, differences may show up. I didn't know you felt that way. I thought, you know, how do you know? Well, we didn't write it down. We didn't anticipate that. And I'm not saying that's wrong. That's just what happens. And people leave. And sometimes it's extremely painful, right? You were right there with us. You were right there with us. And you're leaving? Yeah, that happens, okay? It's actually quite common. Clarifications in the curriculum, for instance, needing policies. It's going to happen. The first visionaries, here's another thing. The first visionaries may not be the best long-term board members. Being a sincere adult Christian does not necessarily qualify you to be a board member. Okay? There are other aspects to that that need to be there. You might be an advisory situation, but that's tough. That's tough to be Hannah handing over Samuel to Eli. All right? That's a picture I often think of. Okay. Well, and by the way, in this case, Eli is the administrator. So just throw that out there. All right. So you're going to see changes in your board. You're going to see demands on the board to grow up, to make policy that actually works. Let me throw this in, because this is just hot off the press, okay, as far as changes we're going through. 32 years old, my board is under a major restructuring, not so much of personnel, but of purpose. You might have heard Doug talk about John Carver's governance approach to boards. I cannot recommend it highly enough. The book is Boards That Make a Difference by John Carver. You may have heard of it already. It's kind of sweeping through here. And I've read it, and oh my word, it's meat and potatoes, folks. It really is. It will save you a lot of heartache. I can guarantee you that. It won't be easy, especially if you've been in business for a while like we have. I know we're going down a tough path, but others have done it, and they rave about it. Boards really knowing how to be effective boards, administrators really being empowered to be effective administrators, because so often they overlap. And then problems develop, and everybody thinks it's because of the other person's face, okay, or personality. It gets personal, in other words. Okay, so that's hot off the press. That's not even in my outline. I'm just winging it. Okay, John Carver, boards that make a difference. Okay, students, not long after that first lovely little compliant group, especially if they're little, as they start to grow up, they change. They want more. They really do. They, for instance, as they get older, as our elementary kids got into the secondary, as we call it, they wanted a little bit more distinction between the elementary and the secondary. You know, they kind of outgrew those little short pants and stuff, you know. All right, I'll just say this. We went 17 years without having uniforms. Don't do that. Don't go a week without having uniforms. Okay, that's just a freebie out there. Don't even think of starting the school without uniforms. There. Okay? We went through a civil war and it was ugly. Not the one you're thinking of. It just was not fun. So as the kids got older, we needed to make distinctions between the younger and the older. Yes, they're under the same roof. That's what always kind of cracks me up, you know? We're still under the same roof. Our older kids walk the halls with the first graders, still. But they think of themselves very much as distinct parts of the school, not in a bad way, in a good way. It's sort of like giving your, you know, oldest kid their own bedroom. And what do they make of that? You know, that's woo, ah, Shangri-La, you know? It's still under the same roof, all right? But it really is necessary. They really need that distinction. So you start developing programs. You start making the secondary, the older kids, something that the younger kids want to be in, looking forward to. The programs, the extracurricular stuff. I mean, I realize there's a lot there. But you think through that. How is that going to look different? How is their uniform going to look different? Okay? What privileges will they have that the little ones don't? Those are going to come. Okay. Third year syndrome. It really is it's a fact. It's not a theory. Basically this, okay? If you're probably familiar with this. I remember telling my wife, Julia, this when she started at Logos, because she started quite a few years after I did when she started teaching Latin. I said, your first 3 years are going to be really rough. First year, you're going to make tons of mistakes. Second year, you're going to overcorrect. Third year, you'll kind of get it right, and you'll feel like you're just starting. Okay? Well, it's absolutely true with schools as well. Every classroom, that happens within the school, it does. First couple years, okay, you're going to fall off one side or the other trying to correct things. As they come up, right, it's sort of like, you know, sliding into a curve, you're overcorrecting, and then you're overcorrecting. And you know, when do you know it? When your wheels are back, you know, into the gravel. Okay, spin it the other way. What you have to realize is you're in motion. You're in motion. This isn't just straightening something out. You're moving. That's why it feels like you're sliding. Does that make sense? You're moving. You're trying to correct your direction while you're moving. And yeah, you're going to overcorrect. It's going to happen. Okay? Trying to make mistakes. They're going to be unavoidable. Okay? Here's the trick. Stay humble. Be willing to admit mistakes to your constituency especially, but to your staff, even if necessary to your students. Okay? We made a mistake. We're going to do this. Stay humble. Listen to people saying you made a mistake. Third year stride, especially this is true in teaching, but it's also in the school. I'm not saying you get it all right. You know that if you've been around for 4 years. Okay? But it's, you have some hope. Okay? You have an idea. Okay. I have to tell you, one of the things that happens very quickly in our schools, you maybe have seen this, is how quickly traditions develop. You do it once. It's a tradition. We've always done it this way. I actually had a parent tell me that the second year when we were thinking about our fall carnival. By the way, you know, be careful about that. This is so hard. This is one of my toughest talks. It's sort of like, say all this stuff in, you know, this little minimum time. Anyway, trying to warn you, you know, here's what's coming. Anyway, fall carnival, we had one. During the day, okay, during the day. It was all fun, right? There were all 16 of us, and I could still fit in my Navy uniform and everything. Next year, well, you know, we've always done it like this. A parent, not a kid, told me that. One time. That's a tradition. Okay. So be careful what you start. Anyway, it's a good time to examine those things. Why you got the time to get to the third year? It's like, think of it as, you know, this is a good stop and breathe moment, if you can. Trends to be examined and started. Do you like those traditions? Those big two times traditions? Fine, keep them. If you don't, it's a good time to make a change. Yes, there's going to be squawks. Too bad. Okay? Getting done what you want to get done. In other words, this is a good time to do a parental survey. Okay? It really is. It's going to be painful, but go for it. Analyzing what you've done. Asking for suggestions. Be careful about that, too. But here's some other milestones. Now, this is way past your third year, probably. Some other milestones. Move on to a real campus. All right? Moving on to a real campus. A little news item there. Again, 32 years old we are, and we're praying for a real campus. Okay? I'm not unhappy with what we've got, but I'm not satisfied. We're in an old roller rink. When I say old, I do mean really old. Okay, it's when roller skating was popular. It's not anymore. In case you missed that. So we've got it, and we've had it for many years, and we've remodeled it. I'm very happy with it. But if you've ever been to our campus, it's sort of like, it's like a big garage. Well, there's a little room back over here. We put that box, okay, and we put that portable, kind of squeeze it in right there. Okay, don't get me started talking about putting in portables. Well, you did. So, anyway, these moving people, I remember the look on the truck guy's face when he first arrived. You want it where? He really said that. And then he proceeded to break the power line, and so power went out in stores all around us. It was a very, very fun time. So we're waiting for that, too. But that is kind of a graduation point. Another one, speaking of graduation, is your first class to graduate. Oh, my. Talk about euphoria. You're going to have a really good time with that. That's great. That's a big milestone. Think carefully. Please think carefully about traditions you start there. Oh, you know, you got four kids, and you have a 2.5-hour commencement program. This is the life history of this child. I was at a commencement program, I won't say where, but they had 13, and each one of them had a 3.5, I counted, minute video. By the time we were on number 7, I was having a panic attack. I can't leave this place, and I know exactly how long this is going to take. No hope. Anyway, all right, so graduation. I'm just telling you, you're going to be tempted. It's like your first daughter's wedding, you know, blow out the doors. You see what that happens? We've always done it this way. You're not going to short my kid. I want the queen on this one, too. Okay. Major controversy. Now, this is not so happy. Your first major controversy. I'm not saying it's going to necessarily split your school wide open, but there will be a first major controversy. I guarantee it. If you think you've had it, you probably haven't. How's that for fun? And I'm actually not joking. If you think you've had it, you probably haven't. Okay? Why do I say that? Well, because things tend to get harder. Okay? I remember telling my mom when our kids were little, oh, man, this is so hard. You know, Seth's got his ear infection, and, you know, Kaisa's got this. And she said in her wise way, little children, little problems. It took me a minute, as it might be taking you, what she was saying. It's going to get worse. This is bad. You're right, honey. It's going to get worse. Okay? The problems are going to get deeper and bigger. Okay. So, major controversy. Here's a happy one. First major donor and donation. Woohoo! Okay? That's a great one, too. That is a milestone. That will come. Really? Yeah, very likely. I can almost guarantee that. I can't really guarantee that. But I can almost guarantee that. Somebody's going to step up to the plate. Okay, that's great. Again, think carefully how you handle that. And if that donor comes with a little bit of strings and power attached. Be extremely careful. And public recognition. Public recognition. You're going to be... We flew under the radar for quite a few years in our local little town. And then we got noticed. And then it got kind of interesting. Okay? Good things happen. Bad things happen. All right? It's going to happen. I'm just saying, it's a mixed bag. It's not one or the other. So those are some initial changes that you're definitely going to see. Dangers accompanying growth. Growth is not always good. Growth is not always good. Cancer grows. So do weeds and pond scum. Okay? Sorry. We have a pond near our house. You got the idea. Numbers can be very alluring. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters here. I'm not talking as someone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, you see. Numbers, I get it. You want them. And it's not, I know, it's not just for money. I understand that too. It really isn't. You want to serve these families. You want more children. I want more children next fall. I'm praying for a specific number. It's not about the money so much. Being the superintendent, yeah, it is about the money to a great degree. But I really want them there. I get that. All right? So you're going to work hard to attract folks. We went through. Please don't do this. I hope you're much wiser than we are. Most of you, many of you are. I really thought we could serve just about any family. Why not? We're Christian adults. We're really mature. We've got the Bible on our side. Okay? So we can take any kid, and we're going to love them back into straightening out. Nope. Nope. A very wise man came to us, thankfully, in our early years. I wasn't requesting it. He was an angel, I'm pretty sure. I never saw him again, so he must be an angel. Okay? I don't really believe that. But it was like an angel. It's like he came and gave us the Word of God and then disappeared. And the Word of God was, you can either be a school for kids that need lots of help, lots and lots of help, or you can be a school for training up children the way they should go. You can't be both? No, you can't be both. Not lightly does the scripture say bad company corrupts good morals. That's not a euphemism. That's not a Benjamin Franklin thing. That's from scripture. It's real. If it sounds kind of heartless, I'm sorry. Talk to God about it. He wrote it. All right? You can't do both. We learned that painfully. Maybe you have too. So numbers are not all there is. Okay. You can be pulled aside, the drift factor. Many pressures come to bear with many people. Bills, facility requirements, special requests by families, hiring needs. Okay, the temptation towards snob appeal. I'll just throw this out here. You know, I have teachers I wouldn't trade for their weight in gold who don't have a college degree. All right? I wouldn't trade them a bit. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with PhDs. Please don't take it off that side either. But I have seen a number of my sister schools tout that as though that's supposed to be impressive. We have these many PhDs teaching at our upper level. Okay? Frankly, having gone to college, I don't think that's very impressive. The PhDs I met there would have rather been researching or in the lab rather than sitting in or teaching in front of us. So I have kind of a bad taste in my mouth from that. They weren't teachers first. So I'm not preaching against that, though. But there is a tendency, there just is a temptation to drift into thinking, we got really, really smart people and we're going to show off about that. Nope, the heart, far more important. Okay, the community regard. How does your community look at you? You're going to get noticed, mentioned that already. How does the community look at you? How do you represent yourself? Don't go by what they think is important. And there will be a temptation, I guarantee you, to want to have the community think well of you. Problem is, what they think is good is not necessarily the same things you think are good. Okay? There's a lot of detail there. Okay, all those can push you off course. So, how do you know? Well, does your vision seem a bit unrealistic, or is it just being called that? And who's calling it unrealistic? These kids need to be exposed to the real world. As though you have, you know, some sort of sin impermeable doors on the front of your school. I always think that's so funny, you know. Wait till your kids get out in the real world. Okay? Read Lewis on that. He says it much better than I do. Times of indecision are very dangerous. Okay? If they are. I'll just throw that out there. You're going to go through times of indecision. What do we mean by that is that the board really doesn't know which direction to go. Letting parents know that you're not really sure which direction to go is kind of a two-edged sword. You might get some really good input, and you'll get some really wacko input. Right? But you're going to get it. So you just have to decide how much you want to open up to that. Okay? Because the other thing is once you open up to, hey, we want lots of ideas, you better listen. Because if you already have an idea and you're just doing it pro forma, they'll figure that out. Far better to lead and then make corrections, course corrections. Okay. You have the privilege of comparing, and I just have to tell you this, you have the privilege of comparing your mission, literally your mission statement, literally your growth as a school, to other sister schools. We were, I won't say orphans, but we were only children for a long time. Okay? We didn't have anything to compare to, and so, very honestly, you have the potential, and I've seen this in reality, of growing faster in many good ways than we did. Really. And when I say, and I have said it in public, I'll say it again, Logos was kind of retarded. And I'm not saying that in any kind of, you know, bad way about children with disabilities. I'm saying the real word means to be slow. And by God's grace, that's what we had to go through. You can learn from that, and you can learn from other sister schools. Okay. By the way, don't listen to people that start sounding like Back to Egypt noises. This is my little fun thing. In those first few years, problems come up. And you'll have parents that say, well, you know, maybe the public schools weren't as bad as we thought. If you've read that, I've been in the Old Testament right now, and you read about the Israel. We were really well off back in Egypt. And these were the people that really were back in Egypt. These aren't, you know, they're not thinking back to generations. They're talking about when they really were there. We sat by the river and had pots of meat. I don't remember slaves getting a lot of that kind of treatment. Anyway, maybe they were. But for some reason, they were complaining to the Lord for about 400 years. Anyway, that's just another thing. But you're going to have parents who will, if I can put it that way, drift back. Don't let that throw you off. Okay? All right, so problems, struggles, those will all come. Parents will leave you. It'll be sad, and you'll be frustrated, and you'll want to know why, and they won't tell you until you find out later. It wasn't just money. It was because they didn't like you. One of the things, I'll just throw this out here. One of the things that a pastor shared with me, not Doug at the time, but the pastor of the church that we were housed in, said to me, and it really struck home. I was expressing some concerns at our plight at that time. I don't remember what it was. And I said, you know, I just don't know if we're going to make it. I just don't know if we're going to make it, to be really honest. You know, we're this little struggling school. I don't have any written guarantee that we're supposed to keep going. I don't have a promise from God that we're going to keep going. And he said, well, how was it at the beginning? Did you believe that God was leading you there? Yeah, I did then. He said, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. You know, I know it sounds kind of, you know, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. That helped me. It really did. I'm remembering it 30 years later. I don't always follow it, but I remember it. I still doubt. Okay, you'll have political power plays, often between old and new school authorities. Okay? New board members come in, old board members go off. Okay? Families that have been with you for a while, not sure that you're going the right direction. Okay? If you don't think politics is part of what you're doing, you definitely haven't been around very long. It is, and I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. It's kind of neutral in some ways. It's going to happen. You have people, you have politics. Okay? You'll have party spirits. Now, that is nasty. Okay? You don't want that. You will have politics in the sense of having to be diplomatic and that kind of thing. But party spirit, we're the party of this, we want to go this way, we're the party of that, we want to go that way, or worse, in some ways, we're the party of this board member, we're the party of that board member. Okay? No, your board is not Congress. Your board is not Congress, and this is not a democracy. Okay? Something you might want to make sure people understand. Okay, professional pride. Kind of alluded to this before as far as the teachers, but here's what can happen with your teachers or even volunteers. And that is what we call empire building. Have you heard of this? You know, this idea? Since we're all starting this new, there's a sense of ownership that is healthy, and there's a sense of ownership that's not. And the longer somebody does something, that sense of ownership can develop into a sense of, this is mine. Keep your hands off. Why don't we ever do X? Well, you know Mrs. So-and-so. She's been doing this, and she likes it this way, and we don't say anything. But, you know, I don't think that really represents the school well. Yeah, but, you know, she's a volunteer, and if she doesn't do it, who's going to do it? Right? Teachers can do the same thing. Okay? Those young men I was talking about, they build a program. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of ownership. They need guidance, though. I know this. This is a very personal thing for me because I built our drama program. Okay? I love our drama program. But it's not mine. It's not mine. And so when we had somebody else direct a show, I purposely stayed away. Not from the show, but from the rehearsals. Okay? So, professional pride can develop. Financial snares. Wow, we. Many and diverse, obviously, enrollment pressures drive this in many cases. State and federal money offers. I'll just put it this way. If we don't believe the state should raise children, why should we take their money? That, to me, seems a little bit hypocritical. Okay, think through it. I'm not, you know, I don't know every situation, but as far as a principle. Okay, how the money is spent should reflect your priorities, not just the demands. Start making categories for where you want to go and start building toward those. Okay, not just your favorite areas. You should have internal controls. This is just a, this is like a, you know, change your tire, you know, rotate your tires type of thing. Internal controls. I know you have very few people to work with at the beginning of these, you know, the school. I get that. But as soon as possible, diversify all that money traffic, where it goes, who signs what, who deposits what. Danger, danger, serious situations there, okay? You've been entrusted with a lot of money. It's probably going to continue to increase. Get outside inspections. Okay, some opportunities accompanying growth. Okay, growth in this case we're going to assume is a blessing. To high school or not to high school? There's a lot to consider on this, but let me put it this way. If you have children and families and they come up through your grades, you started with the lower grades and they're coming up and now it's kind of decision time. We've got 3 8th graders. Do we go on and make some kind of makeshift, slap-together high school program for these 9th graders? Or should we wait, let them go wherever they want to go, give this more thought, time, research, planning, and then open up a brand new high school that's got a lot more, you know, preparation? Don't you dare send those families away. You stay with your people. If they're happy to come back, why shouldn't you be happy to have them back? If they, I mean, you're not surprising them by telling them you're going to have to slap this together. You know, there's only 3 in the class. Oh, they didn't know that. You know? Hang with them. I cannot tell you, this is one of my big things in case you missed it. Hang with them. If they're willing to stay, you hold the course. To believe, I've never seen this happen. Never seen this happen, where that you send a, you know, school sends families away, sorry, you know, come back, we're under construction, you know, see you and you, they'll never be back. And to think that an untried paper-built high school program is going to attract this lovely group of people is a joke. It's a pipe dream. They want to go where the path has been trod. Somebody's got to tread that path, and it's going to cut weeds, and they're going to trip on it, and it's going to be messy. And you're going to have 3 people graduate, and it's going to be a big hoopla, bigger than you should have. But you did it. You did it. They did it. Stay with them. Okay? You've got to complete that. I mean, that's like cutting off the, you know, the heads of the wheat when it's just getting to harvest. Don't do that. I don't have time to give you our story, but we stuck with them by God's grace. We started with, I'll just keep the numbers. We were losing kids. Yes, I know what that's like. Hemorrhaging kids as they got older. 8th grade, 5 kids left after a class of 12 when they were in 6th. Not a good trend. We went to the parents, said, what is it going to take for you to stick with it? Because we believe in all 3 levels of the trivium. They said, you keep the same quality of teachers, we'll stay. I thought they'd want homecoming queen for all their girls. You know, I don't know. Tough to do. They stuck, and not only did they stick, and 4 years later, there were 11. more than double. Why did those families come? Because there were families there. Okay, it's a very strong validation. Vision-enhancing programs, training your staff. Okay, as you're growing, these are an opportunity to training your staff. You have vast resources now, especially compared to what we had back at the time. You have vast resources available to you in people, in materials that are out there. Make use of them. Train your staff. Okay, I won't go through the whole list. You guys can figure that out. You have an opportunity with the community reputation and the influence there. What do you put out? Who speaks to the newspaper? One person speaks to the newspaper. One person speaks to the newspaper. Okay? If you have newspapers, they're kind of going away too. But one person is your media person. Do not just let anybody talk about the school to anybody on the press. Heaven help you. Okay? The best publications you can buy. The best looking brochures you can make. Don't settle for less than that. Okay? This is just cutting to the chase. We tried everything else. Might as well do the right thing. Okay? All right. Folks, you want watching you. You want to give them, obviously, the best impression. Look for places that you can expose people to the school. I don't have time to go in through all those. But, again, publicity type of things. We have a big local county fair. We have a booth every year. We give away balloons. Okay? Hardly a new idea. We're just there smiling and looking pretty, okay, handing out brochures. Okay, Christian community benefits. This is a long-term work. Do not expect the applause of many churches. Sad to say, and even today, do not expect the applause and support of many churches in your area. You will be disappointed. Sorry, I'd love to tell you something else. Maybe you have a unique Christian community in which, you know, 90% of the churches just think your school is great. We're so happy. We're going to put you in our budget. Because we see the common purpose that we have in training families to train their children. Don't count on that. Really, don't count on that. Don't be heartbroken. Don't be frustrated. Just don't count on it. But yes, keep trying to get to know those churches and those churches getting to know you. Pastors carry a lot of weight, impressing them. Yes, that's a good thing to do. Having their children, even better. That will carry a lot of weight. Okay? But even if churches are somewhat against you, don't stop trying to be friends. Okay? So, opportunities for growth there. They know who you are. Okay. Internal benefits, well, that should be pretty obvious, but let's just spell it out. Curriculum development, again, comparing notes with others, but you still come down to what do you want for yourself? What do you want for your school? Curriculum maturity, in other words. Staff longevity, you've stuck with them. They stick with you. You pour all the resources you can into those salaries, into those benefits. That becomes priority number one in your budgeting. Okay? Long-term parents, you use as ambassadors for your school. Honestly, nobody's better. The board is maturing at this point, okay? The administration is working well between the staff and the board to communicate. That's a sign of good things. Sister school assistance, kind of, again, related to this. Maturity brings opportunity and responsibility, okay? We've seen this happen. I'm on the board for ACCS. Regional schools, kind of hub schools, as we call them, where we point people. You know, if you're within 200 miles of another, you know, well-developed Christian, classical Christian school, go there. See what they're doing. Learn from them. Okay? Hallmarks that your school is getting set up for the future. Well, growth, like I said, can be a good thing, depending on who they are, but it can be a good thing. And it could be an indication that God wants you around for a while. So you need to meet the needs of those families. Your students are succeeding. Gee, that's, yeah, that's a good sign. Okay, how does this look? Well, the test scores, yes. We are schools. No, that's not the only thing you measure, but we are schools. So test scores really should matter. Okay, national standardized test scores that best fit your curriculum needs. Be careful of those. Yeah, they should say something. You should see something similar on the report cards and the standardized test scores. You follow me? They should have some similarity if you've chosen a good test that, yeah, does match what you're trying to teach. Okay. This is a strange hybrid, by the way. I'll throw this in here. You're a school, which in a sense makes you a business. You're charging people for a service, right? But you're also a ministry. And that is the nature of our work. And it's a very strange nature. I get that. Okay? That'll change how you deal with people in a number of ways, but we don't have time to go into all those. But it mostly means you don't turn families away. It means you don't turn families away just for money, if at all possible. There's a lot packed in there, I understand. But I'm proud to say we haven't done that. You don't turn them away just for money. Are you with me? Okay. Philosophy and policies, practices, tough cases make bad laws. They always do. Principled decisions, not expedient ones. I've said before, expediency is a nasty taskmaster. Okay? A tough case. Oh, we need to do this. We need to make an immediate decision. Think carefully. Think carefully. First kid to, you know, really start flunking or whatever. Be careful. Set policy you can enforce in the future. Okay? Not personal reactions. Challenges will come. Challenges to what you do. Challenges to your decisions. That's why. I mean, they're going to happen. They're going to, I guarantee that too. They will happen no matter what your decision is. Here's was a something I personally had to learn. And again, you're adults, you know this, but I had to learn it. You can't make everybody happy. You cannot make everybody happy. Somebody at some time is going to walk away unhappy. As a Christian? Yep. As a Christian. There will be, you know, the Paul and Silas moment where you, right? Okay. God honors his principles. When you've made tough calls based on his principles, and you think, here we go. We don't know what's going to happen, but we really believe this is the right call, even though it's not expedient. I've fired a teacher in May when, 3 weeks of school left. Had he done something wrong? Yes. I mean, it wasn't a heinous crime. It was a violation of policy, and he wouldn't stop. I pulled the trigger. 3 weeks to go. Not expedient. Not smart in some ways. God brought a teacher the next day. I didn't know that. I did not know that. I had some contingency plans. That included me. Okay? But he did it anyway. And I could tell you story after story after story where my board, I'm so proud of them, has made tough calls, right calls, and God brought a blessing. Okay? The cultural aroma, I'd love to spend a lot of time on that. What does your school feel and smell like? And you know I don't mean that necessarily, literally, depending on the day. But it should be the equivalent of walking into a home and smelling well-baked bread, freshly baked bread. The equivalent of that morally, spiritually, and I also mean that emotionally. Kids should want to be at your school. As you mature, you're thinking of them, you're not doing this woodenly, you're loving them, they respond to that. I mean, what child doesn't respond to love? And I'm talking about the teenagers, too. If you had told me this 30-some years ago, I wouldn't have believed it because I was not one of those teenagers. I figured, you know, it was my job to be a jerk. You know? That's what I'm expected to do. Anyway, and I have Christian parents. But our kids want to be there. They're not Pollyannas. I can't stand Pollyanna. Okay? They're real kids. They love being there. Yes, that's okay. It's normal. It can happen. Okay? And that's the culture of your school. Okay? Okay, that is a signal to me to start this. Okay? So I'm going to try to... Yep. Oh, look at there. Okay. By the way, your school has a culture. That may be a news item. It was for me. Your school has a culture. The only thing you need to consider is who's leading it. Who's leading the culture? Okay? Much more to be said on that, but please at least think that. I didn't know that. Unwavering biblical standards and vision for the board members. Who are your board members? Very important people. Don't sacrifice any principles, PLE, to get them on. Thankfully, I have not heard too many stories of my sister schools getting board members because they're, you know, deep pockets. I'm glad I haven't heard that. Okay? So that's how it stays faithful. That's how your institution, if I can put it this way, has the best chance of staying faithful, is by making the right decision every day, every meeting. Okay. And this is latest stuff. Happy committed alum families. You can get there by God's grace. We are there. Last year we had 50 kids who were the offspring of alums at our school. We have 400 alums. So obviously many of them move away, of course. But those that stay, by and large, put their kids back. I can't think of another validation. I can't think of a better validation for what that school means. Okay? All right, here we are. God's faithfulness was evident right from the beginning, and particularly with what we were faced with right at the outset. Logos really shouldn't be here for our own foolishness or the odds against us. Finances, lots of things played into how many times God showed his faithfulness. The aspect of finding a place to live for the school was really something. We had 16 students, I believe, signed up to go, showing a lot of faith the parents had in God's providence as opposed to our wisdom, because they all signed up before we had any facility. Shoot, they signed up, a number of them, before we even had a full staff, full being four people. We literally looked at houses. We looked at a barn. We just looked at everything. We'd already knocked on the doors of quite a few churches in Moscow. And so really it wasn't until July of 1981 that the Paradise Hills Church of God here on the south side of Moscow said, sure, come on in. It grew quite rapidly after that first year. Logos, actually for the first few years, doubled every year. Here we were again in about 1986. We were very seriously looking for another place, a large enough place. Larry Lucas really deserves the credit. He found this site, this place here on Baker Street, and it was a roller rink at the time. We invited a number of people to come to an open house here at the building. We had a dessert. We needed $40,000, and we raised it that night. As the kids grew and we doubled in enrollment, we also wanted to add programs like sports and drama. The decision was made to get a gym multi-use facility. And we were given the numbers. What was this going to cost? And oh my. We needed to raise $250,000, $250,000 to get this thing going. The board sent a letter to all of our constituency at the end of May, I believe, of 98, and said, if God provides $250,000 by the end of June, we'll do it. If he doesn't, we won't. Some folks in Montana called me and said, we will match up to $100,000. Well, that got the ball rolling a little bit. Within the month, we had had commitments totaling $250,000. And away we went.
we can't stop at certain points and say, well, how the kids dress doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with our philosophy. Yes, it does. It really does matter how you speak to one another. It matters what you think about the world and all that it contains, not just math and science. We have lots of talks, we, the board, the staff, but particularly the board, and say, where do we want to take this thing? Where do we want to go from here? We all want a school that's going to serve generations to come. And we're starting to see that. And that, I can't tell you how pleased I am about that. We're starting to see a second generation coming through here. Many of my staff members have been here long enough that all their children have graduated and are becoming grandparents. We will be all out of the scene, and we will have to handle the process of giving somebody else this baton. And that I think about a lot. Well, there will come a day when very few people in the staff or among the parents or among the board will remember even building the gym. It'll all be just taken for granted, much less the Church of God. Well, what does that mean for the future? Well, it means that everything we do day by day has to be shaping that baton so that when we hand it off, which we will, it'll be to people who know what it looks like and love it for what it is and will continue to shape it faithfully.
Thank you.